Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, Father, we're thanking you for the word. And we're looking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance and the understanding, Father, of this, your word this evening, to help us to grow stronger and closer unto the Lord Jesus Christ and unto our Heavenly Father. Now, Father, I'm asking you to be with us throughout the remainder of this service, and we're asking this in Jesus' sweet, precious name. Amen. All right, I got a little something I want to share with you. You know, I've told all of you before, we opened this church up after it being closed for quite a while. It closed almost 2 years. And before it was closed, this church had a full congregation. And a man and a woman was here to carry the services on. They wasn't married to each other. They were both supposed to be preachers. They couldn't get along. And the things that was going on between them, it got to where it was causing a lot of the congregation to leave. Once that congregation started leaving, he left, and he left her with the church. She had one service and closed it. It stayed closed until I was talking to Dave, and Dave told me, he said, I sure wish you'd take this church and reopen it. But you know, we're living in a day and time right now to where we're going to see a revival like we've never seen. Because it's not going to only be just in a few churches and here and there, or just in our country. It's going to be throughout the world. God's going to be bringing his people home. we're going to begin to see things that mankind hasn't seen in a long, long time happening in the church. We're going to see those nine gifts of the Spirit at work in the church again. What Jesus has really got in mind for this church, as of yet, I really don't know. I'm being honest, I really don't. But I know he's got something in mind for it, because Satan is doing his best to close it. You say, what do you mean he's trying to close it? Well, he's making it hard for us to get anybody in here. But we know that Jesus can overcome that. And he don't like what's being taught here. That I do know. Satan don't. And he's been trying now for quite a while to split me and my associate pastor apart. Me and Kenny. He gets on Kenny sometimes pretty hard about how he helped to leave me. Get out of this ministry. This morning, before I got out of bed, I'd been praying about the church and all, and asking God to give me some answers about it. Let me know a few things. But I kept feeling pretty rough, pretty bad this morning. Getting kind of sick in my stomach. I was getting to the point to where I wasn't too sure I was even going to be able to get out of the bed and get up here to church to get the temperature all sitting here right so it could be enjoyable for us. But I said, well, I've got to get up and go. So that's what I'm going to do. I went to get up and there was a voice spoke to me and told me, says, you've got less than 6 months to live. It's all we said. But here I am feeling bad. Just got that way all at once. And then this voice speaking told me, says, you've got less than 6 months to live. It bothered me, naturally. And I got to thinking. I got up, went ahead, got my face washed, my hair combed. I come and got the temperature set. Went by Circle K, got me a cup of coffee and Sunday paper. I went home and I was sitting there, and the longer I sat and was thinking about this, the more of the Spirit got working with me. God's not going to tell you anything that way. Now, he may let you know you're going home, yes. My grandmother knew it. But she didn't know it 6 months ahead of time. Brother William Brannan, one of the greatest evangelists we've had in a long time, especially from around this part of the country, because he came out of New Albany, Indiana, a church over there. His son's got it now. God let him know. But he didn't let him know no weeks or months ahead of time either. My grandmother had been sick quite a while. She went over to walked across the yard. My aunt, her daughter, lived in a little apartment right at the edge of their yard. She went over to see her, and she come back. She come in. My grandfather, when he seen her, he told us all later, said she was just as white as a sheet. He asked her, he said, "Mom, what's wrong?" She said, "Oh, nothing. I just seen a booger." My grandmother hadn't been able to wash her own feet for several years. She couldn't bend over that far. She couldn't get them up high enough to reach them. Grandpa had to wash her feet for her. They was getting ready for bed. And she told him, she said, "Dad, go get me a glass of water." So he went in the kitchen to get her a glass of water. And when he came back, she was sitting in the middle of the bed. With her toe in her mouth. This was a woman that couldn't wash her feet because she couldn't get to them. And she's sitting in the bed with her toe in her mouth. Late. My grandpa looked at her, said, "Mom, what are you doing?" She looked at him, she told him, she said, "Dad, I won't be with you come morning." "What do you mean?" She said, "I'm going home." "You are home." She said, "No, I'm going home. I won't be here with you in the morning." At 4 o'clock, 4 a.m., Grandma was gone. She knew. But like I said, she didn't know months ahead. William Branham was out in California preaching a revival. He always went out there every year, same place, and for several years. And on his last night he was preaching, he got done, he told him, he said, "Well," he said, "you know, I won't be seeing y'all no more." They told him, said, "Oh, you'll be back next year." He said, "No." He said, "I'm going home now." He said, "I won't be seeing you." He left out on Interstate 40 coming back in. Come around the curve out there on 40. Met a tractor and trailer head on that was on the wrong side of the road. The doctor said he was dead before he ever hit the pavement. He knew. He didn't know how, but he knew that he was going home. And it got me thinking, God ain't going to tell me no 6 months ahead of time that I'm going home or anywhere else, probably. And move me around from church to church. He never to give me that much time. So I got to sitting and thinking. And just before time to come to church, I got on Satan. And I told him, I said, "Devil, in Jesus' name, you've got to leave me alone. You've got to leave. Get away from me. Stay away from me. Stay away from the church. And stay away from my house." And Sister B, by the time I got down to pick you up, I was feeling good. We had a good service. Left here, took Sister B home, went to see Libby, left there, called Green Valley, got my chicken dinner, ordered to go, went and picked it up, and I've been feeling good ever since. Satan knows what God's going to do with this church. Right now, I don't. But Satan knows. He's in the spiritual realm, so he knows what's going on. And we know, you know, the Word tells us he is the prince of this world. He's not without knowledge. That's why he can get to you. He knows your weakness. He knows what your weakest point is. And he knows how to bug you. That's why we have to have the Word of Almighty God so we can fight him. So I'm going to be talking to all of you this evening from the Gospel of John. Chapter 14, if you want to follow along with me. Because we all need to be walking closer with the Lord Jesus Christ and what we are. If we are to make heaven our home, we've got to be working within the appointment that God has given to each one of us. And those that are a born-again child of the living God, God has appointed them a line of work. And that line of work, whatever it is, if you don't know what it is, then spend time with him and in the study of his word until he reveals it to you and lets you know what he has called you for. And then you better get busy in it, whatever it is. And then stay in it and stay busy at it. If it's just spreading his word to others, whatever. If it's just inviting people to church, whatever it is. But make sure you find out what it is that God is calling you to do, because he has a job for you the moment you became his child. In fact, he had it figured out when he put you in your mother's womb. He knew when you would accept him and when you wouldn't. He knew when you would get born again and when you wouldn't. We don't know those things, but he does. He knew them, and he had a work for you figured out at that time. It didn't come on you just all at once. My grandmother, I was telling you about, that knew she was going home when I was 6 years old. Told my mother and dad, said he will be a preacher. You know what she used for that? Mom then said, Mom, what do you mean he's going to be a preacher? She said, look at his feet. He's going to be a preacher. Well, to this day, I don't know what my feet had to do with it. But evidently, Grandma knew what she was talking about. She didn't know when. She didn't say when I'd make it. She just told him, she said, he will be a preacher. Pardon me. So you see, God does let us know things. But we have, as I was telling you this morning, when I was back over in Romans, We have got to spend time with him. Quality time. And not 5 or 10 minutes, but we need to be spending a good deal of time. When you go to him in prayer, don't aim to make it 5 or 10 minutes. Allow yourself time, a half hour to an hour even. May take that long, may not. But stay there until when you are done praying, you can raise up knowing that you have received something from God. He will talk to you. Oh, now, Pastor, you don't know whether he will or not. Oh, yes, I do. He talks to me. He'll talk to me. He'll talk to you. He's no respecter of person. He started talking to me before I ever really got into the ministry. Now, he had called me, but I hadn't got into it yet. He got to sending me other places and talking to other people that didn't even really and truly believe in his word. He sent me to a preacher that did not preach his Bible. Oh, he'd preach a verse every now and then, but he'd also tell you, you can't live your life without sin. Everybody's a sinner. You're just a saved, you're a saved sinner. No, if I'm saved, I ain't a sinner no longer. If I'm a sinner, I ain't saved. You ain't both. And the word lets us know that. But he was an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. I got home from work. I went in and laid down on my bed. He came to me with this vision. I seen this man's church. They was building an addition onto the side of it. He showed me inside. It was full. Filled up. That went away. And then he showed me the church. All the windows were boarded up. The front door boarded with a padlock on it. It was closed. He told me. He said, you go tell this pastor. His name is Brother Chappell. I'll tell you who it was even. He said, go tell Brother Chappell. Give him this message. That if he will go to the church and pray about the prayer he had prayed before, he'll get his answer and they'll be putting that addition onto his church. But if he don't, his church will be closed. And I said, Lord, you know he don't believe in nothing that way. He don't believe in the working of the Spirit. He just said, go. Well, I knew his wife didn't like me at all. But anyway, he told me where he lived. I got up, started through the house. My wife asked me, said, where are you going? I said, I've got to go talk to a man. Got my car and went to his house. Knocked on the door, his wife come to the door. She looked at me and didn't even speak. I asked her, I said, where's Brother Chappell? She called him. He come to the door, he said, come on in. I said, no, you come out here. I knew I wasn't wanted inside. He come out. I told him, I said, I've got a message for you. I don't know what you're going to do about it, but I was told to come and give it to you. So here it is. And I gave him the message God had given me and told him how to give it to me by the vision and then by speaking to me. He looked at me and he said, well, will you go pray with me? I told him, I said, no. He didn't tell me to. He said, I'll follow you down. Because he knew I had to go by the church to get home. And he did. He got in his car and followed me out. A month later, they was building the addition onto his church. He was preaching this Bible as well as any man could preach or would preach it. His whole life and ministry all changed and done within that much time. A year later, he went home to be with Jesus. But God will talk to you. Now, Jesus here in this chapter 14 is talking to his disciples. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Why should they believe in him if they believe in God? At this time, when none of them with the Spirit, Spirit hadn't been given to man yet. The only one who had Spirit was Jesus himself, because he was the Son of God. He was born with it. But, you see, he's letting them know right off that when they believe in him, they are also believing in the Father, because he is in the Father and the Father is in him, just like you and I today. If we are saved again, we are in the Lord Jesus Christ and we are in the Father, and they both are living in you. That's why we can do the things God will call upon us to do. That's why if he says, go lay your hands on so-and-so, that one is sick, I want to heal it, go put your hands on it, I'm going to heal it. He'll do it. If you'll do what he told you to do, you'll see the work done. You didn't do the healing. Although a lot of people stand around, they'll see it, and they'll say, well, he's a healer. No, he ain't. He's a channel that the healer's working through. You see, we become channels when we are working and walking with the Spirit of God. Because as we lay that hand, that's why he tells us to anoint with oil when we're going to pray for you and you're sick. That oil is a contact. And as I touch you, that Spirit flows through me, through my hand, to you. He does the work. I'm not doing it. He's doing it. And people that see you ought to be able to see Jesus. They ought to be able to come to a knowledge of Jesus because of you and how you live. They ought to be able to see you. They ought to be able to follow you and imitate your life to make heaven their home. Because you are to be a living example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it don't matter whether you're a man or a woman. The only difference between men and women is we have different works in the church. We've all got work to do. It's just different. Like when he called me to be a pastor. He first started me out as an evangelist. Then he called me to be a pastor. He called Dennis to be a deacon. Now he's getting ready to change Dennis and make a pastor out of him. Kenny comes from the Catholic Church. He was raised in the Catholic Church until he met me. But he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. His life changed. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. He got rebaptized. He spent a year as a deacon. And God called him then into the ministry. Because you see, once you begin to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, doing what he has called you to do, he will then always move you higher. As we call it, he'll promote you. He'll use you for something different. A lot of times. Verse 2. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He is in heaven right now, preparing things for those that are born again, children of Almighty God, that's going to go home to heaven. He's making a place for you. And he's also there interceding for you. Now we come on down here now. Verse 3. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's letting us know he's coming back for us. That's why we don't need to be afraid. And all of these churches that close their doors, all these pastors that listen to man instead of listening to God, that was walking in fear. They didn't need to be in fear. Because if God was with them and they were born again as they were supposed to be, they would not have had any fear in them. They would have stood like the rest stood and refused to obey man and went with God, just like Peter now. Does it always come easy? No. It didn't come easy for Peter and John. They told them not to preach in Jesus' name. What they do, they went and preached in Jesus' name. They put them in jail. Had them jailed. Kept them there for a time. Got talking to them. Told them, said, did we not tell you not to preach in that name? Peter and John told them, said, we ought to obey God rather than man. They took and gave him a beating. Turned them loose. The first thing they done, went straight to the tabernacle and was preaching Jesus. But our apostolic church today has quit preaching the truth of God's word, and they're preaching things to tickle man's ears, to make him feel good, and leading him down the wrong pathway. And that's why we are in the shape in our land today that we are in. He told them here, he says, whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Uh-oh. Hear that doubt in Thomas. You know, we all, you've heard that phrase used during your lifetime about doubting Thomas. Well, here he is. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, And how can we know the way? But you know, I love Jesus' answer here. And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only way that we will ever be able to make heaven our home. And we have to do it by living this word, doing and not doing exactly what the word of God tells us. That's why we need the church. But we need the church preaching this word and not taking all this other stuff in that should not be in the church. Such as today. But yet we still play around with these other churches, these apostolic churches. And we're told in God's word not to do it, because sooner or later they're going to bring trouble upon us. And the word tells us it can even draw you away from God. Because it's the easy way. It doesn't cause you any trouble. It doesn't cause you any problems. Where I guarantee you, when you really start walking with the Lord God, and you start doing what he tells you to do, you're going to come up against some troubles, trials, and tribulations. And the Lord himself tells us that. He said, they persecuted me, they will persecute you. But he's told us here now that the only way we can go to heaven and go to the Father is but through him. But he goes on to tell Thomas, he says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. For henceforth you know him and have seen him. Just because they had seen Jesus, he's telling them, because you've seen me, you've seen him. Just like I was telling you earlier, when they see us, they are to see the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. Because that's the way our life is to be lived. And if it's not lived that way, we're not going to make heaven our home. Now, I may look at you, and you may feel like I'm preaching at you, but I'm not. I'm just looking at you because right now you're the only one here looking at me. But, you see, all that's within the sound of my voice on the internet and all is hearing this as it's going forward. Now, come down here. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Now, not only has Thomas asked these questions, now here Philip is. Tell him, show us the Father. Jesus, his answer to Philip, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how saith, now then, show us the Father. You see, because Jesus was living a life without sin, he was a man that had no sin. He was living just as God wanted him to live.
Something went wrong. Please try again.
So he went, and he was letting them know that if you know me, You've seen me, you know, you should know, and you've seen the Father. His words, not mine. That's his words. Now, verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And you see, that's why we are to live our lives so that they see Jesus when they see us. Because he lives in us, and the works and the things we do, the things we say, should be him doing the work, should be him and his words, not ours, but his. We need to be watching how we speak, how we talk, what kind of words. And are we using the words of this world out here, or are we using God's words from the Bible? We don't need no other language other than the Bible. I don't need to be out here. In fact, we're told in the scripture, he said, let jesting not be named once among you. That word jesting means joking. We're told not to let it be named once among us. But we got pastors right now that won't start their service until they told a joke first. And they were told not to do it. That's when you want to stay away from them. We don't need to be out here flirting around like a bird from one place to another. We need to be settled in one place, settled in and with the Spirit of Almighty God, settled down doing the work that he has called each and every one of us to do. And when we do that, we're going to see things happen, and we will see this church filled. Because you're going to be seeing miracles. You're going to be seeing healing. You're going to be seeing people filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to be seeing people filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. But we have got to get down to business and get down to his business. Not ours, but his. As I was telling you this morning from when we were in Romans, you know, we need to be making more time. When you study God's word, you find out those that stood fast and would not compromise. The three Hebrew children, they were told to quit praying to their God. And when they heard the music, they was to fall down and worship the image the king had made. They wouldn't do it. And they were warned then. When they were caught at, they were taken and warned. And we're told, if you don't do it, you're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. They still wouldn't compromise. They still, prayer time come, they prayed to their God. Music played, they didn't fall down and worship that image either. And the king took them. He done what he said he was going to do. He took them, took his strongest men to throw them in that fiery furnace and told them to make that furnace 7 times hotter than it had ever been made. When they heated it up, they had it so hot that the men that threw them in the furnace was killed. They were killed. But when the king looked in, what did he see? He didn't see three in there. He saw four men in there walking around. So when he called them out, and they came out, they didn't even have a hair singed. Because Jesus was in there with them. Because they would not compromise. And we've got something they didn't even have. We got something in us that is stronger and better than what they had. They were on their own. But you and I have got the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ with us, giving us all the help, all the tools that we need. And yet, look how our country has turned its back on the Lord Jesus Christ and walked away from it. Now, he goes on here and he says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe on me for the very work's sake. Because he was doing God's work. Now, he's going to tell you exactly what I've been standing here telling you about. Right here. So you'll know that what I just got through telling you wasn't my words. They were his. Verily, verily. When you see those two words in a sentence, it means pay attention. This is important. Verily, verily. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Who? Who can do that? Well, just certain people. That ain't what it says. He says, he that believeth on me. That means all. All that believe on me. The works that I do. What was Jesus doing? He was healing the blind, the deaf, the dumb. All manner of disease, crippled. And all. And he just told you right here. If you believe on him, you can do the same thing. Oh, now, Pastor, you don't know you can do that. Oh, yes, I do. Because he has done it through me. He had me walk up the side of a woman's bed that had been in a coma for 4 months. Hadn't been conscious in 4 months. Walk up the side of her bed and speak to her. And call her out of that coma. And she come out of that coma healed. The next day was across the street out of the hospital and then in a rehab center getting her leg strength back because she hadn't used her legs in 4 months. But she was well, whole. Now, he goes on here, then he tells us why we can do it. He said, because I go unto my Father. And 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatsoever, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, whatsoever you ask of him, if it's according to his word, he'll do it. But if you're asking him for healing, that's according to his word. So he'll do it. He don't lie. Now, 15. Now here's where a lot of men get in trouble. If you love me, keep my commandments. And that's where a lot of our churches today are missing out, because they don't keep his commandments. Look at the churches today that has brought into the church, let into their beliefs, abortion, adultery, fornication, homosexuality. They tell you, oh, we've got to love them, we've got to accept that. That's just an alternate lifestyle. No, that's an abomination unto God. His word says so. It's got no place in the church, let alone behind the podium. We've got homosexual preachers today standing behind the podium trying to tell people how to live. We've got men standing today that has 3 and 4 living wives standing behind this podium trying to preach to a congregation and tell them how to live. No. It don't work. 1 Timothy 3rd chapter tells them that. Tells you exactly what the qualifications for your pastor is. It says he is to be the husband of one wife. Among other things, it tells you about him and what he's supposed to be. It tells you also what the qualifications for your church deacon is. Not too many of them are going back today. They're taking them regardless of how they live. I know them right now that's serving as deacon, that's out here drinking, carousing around, got 2 or 3 wives. No. No. It's not right in the sight of God. He goes on now to tell us, after telling us to keep his commandments, he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That comforter is the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. When Jesus went back to heaven, he said, if I don't go back, he can't come. But if I go back, I'll send him back, which is what he did on the day of Pentecost in that upper room. And it wasn't just 12 men in there. A lot of places are teaching, well, that was just the 12 men. No, it wasn't. There was 120 in that upper room, men, women, and children. And the word tells you that when the Holy Spirit came, it came as the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it came with cloven tongues as of fire, and it set upon each one, every one of them, all 120 were given and filled that day with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And Peter come out of the upper room and preached one of the greatest sermons recorded in the Bible that day, in the book of Acts, the beginning of the church age. A man that had been hiding just a few days before, about 40-some days before, he'd been hiding from mankind because he was afraid to be associated with Jesus. Denied him 3 times one night. And yet, he was standing there to the same ones that he had had from, pointing an accusing finger and telling them, you crucified him. You killed him. Had that boldness You see, that's what we get when we get the Holy Spirit. We get that boldness to stand up and proclaim the Word of God as it is written. Not what I want it to say, not what anyone else wants it to say, but what God wants it to say. What he said when he wrote it. You see, when these men wrote this, they didn't write that of themselves. They was writing what the Holy Spirit of God was giving them to write. And people will say, well, you don't know if that's all. Yes, we do. If you live it, you find it out. If you don't live it, there'll be a day you will find it out. And then it'll be too late. Even as the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. He comes, he makes his home in us. The Holy Spirit does. And Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He's also going to come back to us and live with us. But he went to heaven and sent that Holy Spirit back to us. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Who's your teacher? Not me. You see, I'm not teaching this. The Holy Spirit is teaching it. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. That's why we need his word, because that's what he says to us. And the Holy Spirit will bring them back to our remembrance as we need these things in our life to live that holy, righteous life. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Uh-oh. There it goes. Tell us now again. Don't be afraid. You see, where there's faith, there's no fear. And where there's fear, there's no faith being used. You stand in faith, you don't need to be afraid of nothing. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, ye would rejoice because I said I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. That's why you and I are told how to pray. You know, most people don't really know how to pray. Church people really don't know how to pray. But we're told in the book of Matthews how to pray. And we're told, pray to the Father. We don't pray to Jesus. We don't pray to Mary. We don't pray to the angels. We are to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. I go to him in Jesus' name. But I go to the Father. And that's what he's telling you right here. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. We are to accept his word and through his word build our faith and stand with him. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. Now he's talking about who's coming. Oh, we deal a whole lot with him out here every day. We see a lot of that prince of the world. That's the old devil. He is the prince of this world. And he's sure out here working. We see a lot of him. But we don't have to let him in. We don't have to accept him. We can stand against him. We can chase him out. We can give him a black eye. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. We are to walk with him. We are to be as he is, because we are in Jesus. Jesus is in the Father. There is no difference. We are heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us that we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. That's why we can do the things God will call upon you and I to do. Because he will give us the power to do it. And I pray that all listening to me, if you're not right with God, that you'll pray this little short prayer with me. Father, I am a sinner. And Father, I'm sorry for my sins. And I'm asking the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, take these sins from me and come into my life. I need you, Lord Jesus. I need you to guide me. I need your strength. I need you to keep me. I need your blood to cover my sins and move me from the ways of this world and make of me a righteous being. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you know, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you're going to see some changes start coming about. We don't get everything all at once. Not very many times will you ever see one person get all of it at one time. In 55 years of ministry, I've seen it one time where one person got everything at one time. And that was a lady. I told you all about that before. But she got it when she was baptized. She got it all. But she's the only one I ever seen do it. It didn't happen to me that way either. I was a long time down the road. From the time even that I accepted the ministry, I preached a long time with the Spirit walking beside me, but not in me. Because I had been taught all of my life by a denominational church that didn't teach about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You just got everything because you were baptized. And I was believing I had everything. And everything was working. So to me, I didn't need nothing else. Until I started running into some roadblocks and some persecutions. Then I found out I was missing something. And the day I got it, I was building a church. I bought an old house in a community, had 100 families living in that community. And I bought this old house and gonna make a church out of it. And I had taken out all the petitions and everything, just made one big room out of it. in a bathroom, built me a platform like this, and I'd knocked on every door and talked to everybody in there, and they all told me the same thing. Never one of them lying to me. Because they all tell me that they belong to a Seventh-day Advent church, which meets on Saturday. And I think every home has three or four kids in it. So when I opened my church up, I was a glorified babysitter. I had a church full of kids. Not one grown up. Not one. But you know, God got using them kids. And kids got going home asking Mom, Dad questions Mom, Dad couldn't answer. And they just kept it up. And I found out why Mom and Dad wouldn't come to church on Sunday morning, because most of them that lived in there come Sunday morning had a hangover because they was going to a beer joint right out across the creek from where the church was. And they spent their Saturday nights out there. But them kids got to ask Mom and Dad for questions. Mom and Dad couldn't answer. So they started drifting in. I wound up with a full church. And God had used them kids to do it. When I got ready to leave there and God was moving me, there was another man that wanted the church. And we got to talking. He was preaching the Bible. And I told him, I said, all right, I'll let you have the church. Long as you keep it a church, you're welcome to it. But if you ever quit using it as a church, it comes back to me. It's still a church today in Florida. And that's been not 50 years, about 50 years ago. Then when I'd go to Florida, I'd go, a lot of times I'd run out by there to see if it was still there being used, you know. And I would find out it was. But we all need to change our priorities. We all need to spend more time in church. We need at least 3 times a day for prayer. Oh, I just can't make it. Is that what you want to hear Jesus say when you stand before him? I just ain't got time for you. So you're going to have to depart from me. We need to make our priorities. First thing we need to do when our eyes open in the morning is go to him in prayer and get into his word. Take an hour for prayer and to study his word. And then, because as you grow, you're going to find yourself thanking him through the day for different things. I thank him all day, every day. I'll be doing something and something will come along or something, you know. And I'll thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You get to where you do it, really, without even thinking about it. But you're giving him praise and thanks for what he's doing with you and for you. Then we need, somewhere along about noon, another time for prayer. Even if you're working, everybody, any job you do, you get time for dinner. Miss that meal. I ain't gonna kid you. If you have to, if you ain't got any longer to do it. But use it for prayer. And thank him for that morning, what he's done with you and through you that morning. And then that evening, sometime that evening before time for your bed, you need to be back with him in prayer, thanking him for that day, thanking him for the things he's done, and back into his word, and thanking him for his word, and for letting you grow in his word. And you'll find your life so much different. And you'll find him working through you like you never believed could happen. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come together to share your word and to study, Father, to be supportive one to another, to be here for each other and to show our love. And Father, for your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, your word tells us to pray for peace for them. And we know that right now, Father, they don't have much peace at all. Thousands of rockets a day are coming in to that land. And Father, we are praying that this cease and that they have peace. And Father, we pray for this land of ours, the land that's turned its back and walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ with no excuse. Just done it because that's what they felt like doing. And they're trying to even walk further. Lord, we're praying and asking the Holy Spirit to work with us, to help us to take out of office those that are against the church, those that are against Jesus, and those that are against your people. And help us to put back into office those that will work with and for your church, those that will work with and for the Lord Jesus Christ, and work with us to put this government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, our prayer list, as each name is named, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch that one, to bring about whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, brothers in Christ there in Brandenburg, Father, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Luke Bess and the Church of God of Brandenburg, and Pastor Randy Johnson, the Meade County General Baptist Church, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas. And Father, these churches, make them lighthouses for the community in which they stand. And Father, these pastors that's over these churches, I pray that they walk close with the Lord Jesus Christ and that they are all filled overflowing with the Holy Spirit, and fill these churches with the Spirit, Father, to keep them walking on the pathway of righteousness. For this young man, Will, Father, that has been ordained into the ministry, my prayer for him is that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit, and he's the minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, Father, you know what is needed there. I lift them up, put them in your hands. For this little Full Gospel Church of God of Akron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge. And Father, it's in need of one there that will keep the Holy Spirit there in that church as it should be. to make that church a place of refuge, to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For my friends in Pakistan, Father, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephron Iron, Father, these three, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For the Johnson family, the Branson family, the Lee family, for my family, Father, for the Taylor family, and for all the families that will hear this message, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will work with these families and those that are walking in darkness, Father, that the Spirit will lead them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo, and Sharon's mother, Sue, Palance, Casey Smith, Kelly Smith, for Karen, for Henry Craycroft. Father, these all stand in need of the healing hand of Jesus to touch them. Touch them in a mighty and great way and bring about the healing that is needed and lead them along the pathway of righteousness and lead them, Father, into repentance and to the Lord Jesus Christ. This little church, Father, is yours. It's not mine. Make it what you want it to be. Use me, Father, in great and mighty ways, not to lift me up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. And God bless. All right, remember now, God willing, we can all be together again come Thursday evening. So until then, walk with God, He'll walk with you. Good night now.